Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on 100.2 FM, 95.1 FM, Freeview 277, online at bizradio.co.uk and syncportradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and it's not going to be gorgeous, Jill Sirkin.
Hello. Thank you very much for my tea. I think that's the first time since 1066.
In 16 years, I eventually capitulated and made her a cup of tea.
No, but it was only hot water.
So, it was, yeah, but I lovingly boiled it.
Yes.
Yeah.
There is one of Kent's last wimpy restaurants. We read this last week, but it is rather interesting because I do love a wimpy. Mm. It's set to reopen later this year, delighting fast food fans who feared the site would remain shut for good. Ashford's branch of the burger chain has been closed throughout 2024 after the previous franchisee stepped down after 30 years in charge. But bosses say the Tufton Street site will remain part of the Wimpy family moving forward and have confirmed it will reopen under the new management. The chain, the first to serve hamburgers in the UK, was once the fast food restaurant of choice among many in this country. Spicy bean burger was my very, and I'm a meat eater, but the spicy bean burger.
Bendy sausage.
Yeah. The bent with little chunks.
Cut out of it, yeah.
I mean, who did that? Huh? Who spent hours cutting out the chunks?
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe there's, it was a mouse.
There's a Wimpy Bar in Maidstone in Gables Hill. It's been there 150 years, obviously.
Is it still a Wimpy Bar?
Yeah, it's still there.
Have you ever had a Wimpy, Bradley?
I'd hate to disappoint you, but
no. Well, I tell you, the spicy bean burger was my very favourite, and I'm a meat eater.
As I said, Wimpy was the very first fast food chain to do burger restaurants and the takeaways and eat-ins and stuff. And they, for years, Wimpy bars were...
Yeah, it's where you'd meet for your date.
Were the McDonald's or Burger King of the day until the Americans moved in.
I actually prefer Burger King to McDonald's now. But my new husband, Bradley...
I'll tell you the best, is Wendy's.
Wendy's, do they exist anymore?
Yeah, they do, but mostly in America.
Okay, and why is it better?
They're just nicer.
My new husband...
Their burgers are square.
Are they?
Yeah.
What does it fit into? What kind of bun? A square bun?
A square bun, maybe.
That's
No, actually, they put them in a round bun.
Do they?
Yeah, and what happens
is... Do they have gherkins?
It's a square burger, so you get one corner sticking out of one side of it, and then the cheese slice, the corner sticks out of the other. So, you get this nice little sunflower effect.
Well, it's a hexagon or something, isn't
it? But in Wendy's, you make your own burgers. So they give you the patty and the bun, and then they've got like a selection of stuff you could dollop on it.
I like that.
Yeah.
Well, as I was trying to say, Bradley, before my co-presenter chirped in, my new husband, Gavin, makes a mean burger. I get organic beef mince, and he just squeezes it all together, and we just fry it and add all sorts of things. And we even put a gherkin on, and that's sort of a healthy burger, because I have mine with a lettuce. Right. And he has his in a bun.
So you don't have the bun?
No.
You have yours squeezed between two lettuce leaves?
Yeah, okay. I do. Okay. Preferably a cos, nice crispy. But I have mustard and all the trimmings and a gherkin. And, of course, red onion.
Okay. Yeah. I've had this email. It says, good afternoon. We are an under-14s local football team who play for Ebbsfleet Youth.
Oh.
And we run alongside Ebbsfleet United, who play in the National League. We are looking for a sponsor for the up-and-coming season. We are playing all around the Medway area, and our kits will be seen by hundreds of people every weekend. I've been a manager of this team since the under-6s and now completing our 7th year together with a possible cup final in the next few weeks. We're looking for somebody to help us with our kit sponsorship and help pay for the kit, which works out at £150 each player. This consists of a home and away kit and a quarter zip training jacket, which totals £2,400. If you would be interested, please let me know by contacting me, Daniel Parry, the manager, and he's given me a phone number, which is 0790-305-4675. Now, you won't have time to write that down, but if you're interested in sponsoring them, if you contact me by email at hello@bizradio.co.uk, I will pass on Daniel's contact details to you.
I was reading about my unmile there. I got sidetracked. Vodafone is looking for more than 300 franchise partners across the nation. The IT experts and entrepreneurs are being invited, sorry, not the IT experts and entrepreneurs are being invited to become their own boss, thanks to a local franchise opportunity from the newly launched Vodafone Business IT Hubs channel. So they're looking for more than 300 franchise partners across the nation to set up IT hubs in their local areas, forming part of a new strategic drive from Vodafone to help SMEs better manage and get the most from their IT solutions. I'm going to read out the website in a minute, and it will go on kentbusinessradio.co.uk after the show. As an IT and comms managed service, each IT hub will have a local territory in which it will offer an outsourced one-stop shop for IT and communications support, including help with hardware and applications alongside connectivity and security. The target market for the hubs will be SMEs who are resource limited and don't have their own internal IT support function available. So the website to have a look at this is vodafone.co.uk/business/IT-hubs/franchise. As I said, it'll be on kentbusinessradio.co.uk after the show. So that sounds very interesting.
Yep.
Is that a way of them wheedling out, though, of paying things? I mean, to have franchises. What do you think about that business model? I think it's a good business model, but wheedling out of
I think big companies ought to do more of that, franchise it out to smaller businesses.
Yeah.
I've had a tweet from Martin Reeves.
Okay.
He says, Vanilla Web, Jewel Circuit Business Bunker, back in the 80s, you were deemed really cool at our junior school if you had a Mr. Wimpy party in Maidstone,
yes.
In Maidstone's High Street, Wimpy place, which was Burger King and is now Metro Bank. He said, I still have my badges from it in the loft.
Wow.
Right, now, hold on. That's interesting, Martin, because I've got a question for you, but I don't think you're old enough. On Maidstone Past, which is a Facebook group, we were trying to remember what was in that position on the corner of Week Street and High Street, Maidstone, before the Wimpy Bar. Right, it was a Wimpy Bar, then it was Burger King, and now it's Metro Bank.
I'm amazed there's a bank in the High Street.
Yeah, but we were trying to remember what was in that position, and as far as I can remember, it was a sports shop. Because I remember getting a football shirt done. It was two stories. You had to go upstairs to get the printing done. But we couldn't remember the name of it. So if you remember the name of it, Martin, that would be useful. But anyway, he's got the badges to prove he had a Wimpy party.
Well, yeah, I mean, and it's good that Martin's actually kept those badges because he's a collector, isn't he? That's what he does.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
It was interesting, actually. I was talking about your Jamie buying his armoire in France for 50 euros. Beautiful piece of furniture. L'armoire. Wardrobe to you and me.
Mm.
But beautiful piece of furniture. And he bought it for 50 euros. And I was saying that in the 80s, I bought this lovely French curvy chest of drawers. And my mate antiqued. I think I bought it for about 80 quid or something in the 80s. And it's beautiful. And my antique dealer came round and he said, you could very much, if you put it in a London showroom, name your price.
Yeah.
Because it's so unusual.
Yeah.
And it's amazing, isn't it? Well, if you buy I bought it from a junk shop in Wandsworth Road. So I keep saying to my kids, don't buy IKEA and get something that's.
You've watched, was it Money in the Attic or whatever it is?
No,
what
I haven't.
Is
it? I bet Martin has.
What's it called?
Money in the Attic.
Is it? Is that what it's called?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Have you watched it, Bradley?
No.
Kids don't watch that sort of thing. But what do they find in the attic?
No, it's a television programme.
Yeah.
Yeah, where they
find
heirlooms. They find junk and sell it at auctions.
Yeah. And it often comes up as like a couple of grand, you know.
I don't know. I don't watch telly.
No.
I'm just saying.
I haven't watched it, but I will.
Right.
To let
it's
you know.
I can't remember what the programme's called. Money in the Attic doesn't sound right. It's something in the attic, junk in the attic or something. Something about attics anyway.
Martin will know. He's listening.
Yeah. Oh, he'll tell us in a minute.
Yeah, he will.
Anyway, Bradley needs to know about this because I reckon he ought to get one of his camper vans down to this.
Oh, yeah.
No, this Kenwood Truss Classic Motor Show.
They're not exactly classics.
No, I know, but
I think it might
classic.
Be Cash. Is it Cash in the Attic?
Cash in the Attic,
yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
No, it's not a classic vehicle, but it is classic in terms of classy because it's,
it's got the feel.
Yeah, it has. Anyway, it's the Kenwood Truss Classic Motor Show. Engines are ready for our popular Classic Motor Show on Sunday, the 26th of May. It's going to be a day to remember. For all the details on how to join in our fun can be found at kentbusinessradio.co.uk/Canada. See you there. Kenwood Truss is a residential home for people with drink and drug addictions. They're a charity. based in Yalding, just outside Maidstone, in a fabulous Georgian country house. And they have regular meetups of classic cars and motorcycles, but they got a big classic motor show on the 26th of May. You get down there.
Yeah. I do think,
and it's just not—it's not just cars; it's motorbikes, scooters, or any unusual vehicle.
Yeah, I should take my chest of drawers there because that's unusual.
Yeah,
I put it on wheels.
Yeah.
But your vans—I've just seen them in the car park. They are—they look like a classic. The shape and that—they're just
what I was
beautiful.
Thinking. Yeah, yeah. So, and it's been so well done, hasn't it?
Oh yeah, I'm looking forward to my tour, Paul Andrews.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Bradley any minute now. I just need to tell you about this before we do. It's the Marsh Network, East Sussex Networking at Pet Village Hall. The group is designed to enable businesses, social enterprises, charities, and community groups in East Sussex and Kent to meet through regular face-to-face networking. The next meeting is taking place on the 7th of May, 10:30 until 12. If you go to marshnetwork.co.uk, you can book your place there. Right. It's an absolute pleasure. He's been so patient waiting to be on. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the show Bradley Westgarth of Milldown Campers. Bradley, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for bringing your camper van, which is exquisite. It's fabulous.
Thank you very much.
So why don't you kick off, Bradley, by telling us a little bit about the business and what you do with camper vans.
Right, so first of all, thank you very much for both having me on. It's a pleasure.
You're welcome.
In regards to the business, the camper van business that we use, that we sell the camper vans, my grandfather built that. About
what's your grandfather's name?
David Westgarth. He built that about 5-6 years ago.
Right.
We might be slightly less than that. It was just before the start of COVID. And he just built a few houses and sold them, and he had nothing.
As you do. Yeah. Knocked up a couple of houses and was at a loose end. Yeah.
So what is his trade to start off with?
Well,
is he a builder?
I'd say motor trade. And then he built this bought a farm, an old farm, and he built four houses down there and made it into a nice estate and all that. So, yeah, it's mainly motor trade, though. He's been in accident repair and all this sort of stuff. Mm. But just before COVID, he was getting a bit bored, really. He's one of those people that really needs to keep going, keep doing things. And he spoke to an old friend that he used to import Japanese cars from, and he's like, what happens nowadays? What comes in? What are people buying? And these Toyota Alphards and Nissan Elgrands were the thing that everyone was bringing in. And a lot of the people were turning them into camper vans because of the start of COVID. It was just before, the big bang of camper vans.
So hang on, for those who don't know, these Toyotas and the Nissans are sort of eight-seaters, are they? Big things.
Type. Eight-seater, people carrier. They were actually made in Japan for ferrying executives around. So you've got the big captain seats in the back. You've got a TV that drops down. It's all in Japanese, of course. It's useless to the UK. But, yeah, so they were luxury cars in Japan. And we bring them over and we strip everything out. We put floors in. We put the kitchens in. We put the roofs on. We do all the work to fit out the camper vans. And over the 5 years, they've progressed massively. From when we first started, we were in a garage on the back of my grandfather's house doing a few here and there. He was employing me to, do all the odds and ends. And then this garage or unit came up next to Lydon AP Crush, and We took it on and we thought, this could work. I mean, everyone's loving camper vans at the moment. We took it on and, we started doing the camper vans from there. Then, next door left, we took over the next
you expanded,
one. There.
Yeah.
And, most of the time there's been a constant struggle for space because my grandfather has this problem. He buys too many cars.
Right.
He can't help himself. But
I know the feeling.
Yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it? The whole camper van history. It goes back a long way. In the 50s and 60s, there was a thing called a Bedford camper van,
yeah.
Bedford van, all based on exactly the same as you were talking about. They're people carriers that people have modified. And there were a lot of Bedford vans that were modified into campers. And then, of course, you had the big one, which became synonymous with camper vans, which was VW.
The VW, yes.
But, of course, I don't think they don't make them anymore, do they?
They do the California.
But again, that's fairly rare because they went for a long period of not doing it. And therefore, old VW camper vans were kept running because it was difficult to get any. And of course, VW are really expensive as well.
But the thing is that from my experience of having an old timer that we were given, so it's about 24 years old.
It's no way to talk about his granddad.
But they're made better, I found. You know, like the new, in fact, when we had our guest on before, the O'Haras, who are in around Canterbury, he said that the new stuff, you've got to be really careful when you're hiring out because a lot of it's plastic and it falls, you know, people break them and they get drunk and they try and open things. Whereas the Heimer is really beautifully built, German, of course. So how do you feel about sort of renting them out?
Let's keep it on track because I want to start this in sequence because 5 or 6 years ago, they started converting Japanese vehicles into high-end camper vans. And I say high end, having seen it earlier, the finish is absolutely brilliant on it, and the fit out is wonderful. And I'll tell you what, Bradley, why don't you tell us what's in them, first, and then we'll move on to the higher business in a minute.
But what we can do in them.
But describe, I guess that you customize them for a customer.
So, we do cars for stock to sell as is. But I'd say the majority of our customers, they come in, they see our cars, they think, oh, I like that, I really like that, but I'd change that.
Yeah.
I'd change, you know, the colour of the floor. I'd change the colour of the kitchen. But all the rest of that, perfect. And we get so many that come in and, you know, order their bespoke kitchen. We do everything bespoke. I mean, the things that people have asked us to do sometimes.
Such as?
A cat hook. that's one that always
I quite often
out.
Hang my cat up.
What do they do with the cat hook?
Well, it was this woman who sold her flat and bought one of our camper vans to live in.
Okay.
And she had a cat and she wanted somewhere where she could tie up.
Keep it safe, but have the door open. Interesting. We have a lot of people living in camper vans in where we live in Tankerton on the seafront. Quite a few.
It's a big thing that nowadays people, you know, retiring, downsizing, selling their house and living on the proceeds while they drive around the countryside being a nuisance.
Well, Colin Harkness, our wine person, lives in Moriah in Alicante, Valencia area, and he's got a camper van. I think he rents out his house and he's going all around the world.
It gives you that freedom as well.
Absolutely. It's a brilliant idea.
So people want a bespoke kitchen. They can have whatever they want, anything. What else do they ask for apart from cat hooks?
Well, so the main problem we find when people come in is they look at all our things and think, oh, I like that. I want to change it a bit. And then we show them the selection that they can choose from. And most of the time they sit there and think, that's too much choice. Mm. I mean, we have people sit there hours and hours just, you know, going from one to another. Just trying to get all the choices because there's a lot of things to choose. Because you've got the face of your kitchen, which is one colour. You've got your worktop, which is another colour. You've got your floor. You've got the upholstery colour you want, which can be, you know, two-toned or stitching in different colours.
Zebra.
Zebra. She'd have it in leopard skin. Okay, so what I want to explore is what equipment goes into a standard van. You show me earlier, so you got sinks. What else you have?
Right, so our conversions, they consist of two different types.
Yeah.
You've got what we call an L-shaped conversion because it goes down the side and then pops out the front so it looks like an L.
Right.
And then the other one is you've got a wide kitchen, which is your traditional down the side, and then you've got your bed.
So is that for someone that might cook a bit more, that they'd have slightly wider kitchen or not?
Well, the main payoff between those is the size of the bed.
If you
have the wider kitchen, you've got a thinner bed.
Okay. Right?
If you have the L shape, you can get a wide, almost...
So it depends whether you're a cooker or a sleeper.
Essentially. Or what you're using it for. Because if it's just you going off-grid, you don't need that big bed. And then you can have that bit more storage space in them. But, I mean, the L shape, that tends to be slightly more popular because what you get is three seat belts. Right. Which, if people are taking kids and they might have three kids, you need three seat belts. The other bed doesn't have three seat belts.
Right.
And as well, you've got the bigger bed, which most people just find a little bit more comfortable when it comes to camp. They want a little bit more of home. I think the bigger bed's 48 inches wide, which is very close to a double bed.
Right. And is it down the bed? I mean, I know you're giving me a tour, because in the Hymo, ours is at the top.
No, so what they are is they're a rock and roll bed. So they sit up as a seat that you sit in when, and you have seat belts on. Mm. Then you pull it out and it goes flat. Mm. And you've got your bed.
Wow.
And
brilliant.
It's really easy to pull out.
I love rock and roll, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, no, Bradley showed it to me earlier. It's a very simple mechanism to turn the back seats into a bed.
Excellent.
So you've got sinks, you've got a bed. I know you told me that some of your vans have Wi-Fi.
Yes. So they'll always come with a fridge. You've got a decently sized fridge, especially on the L-shape. You've got a 50-litre fridge.
Right. Excellent.
And then you've got your sink, which... on the particular car outside is from an underslung water tank, which is a 30-litre tank. That's more water than you'll ever need.
Right.
You've got your double hob burner, so you can do two things at once. That's not something that's always
And that's kind of gas?
No, so that's run on that car in particular off an LPG tank underneath.
Oh, right, okay.
We fit an LPG tank, it's 13 quid to fill up.
Right.
And that will last you ages.
Excellent. Right.
Because on that car in particular as well, it's got a gas Propex night heater,
right,
which runs off the LPG and the tank underneath.
How efficient is that heater?
It's really, it does keep warm. Like,
excellent.
You do really feel warm, because we went down to St. Margaret's Bay to take some photos, and I was sat inside with the heater.
Cozy.
My grandfather came in, opened the door, was like,
Arctic blast.
That's nice in there. So, yeah, I mean, and with the LPG tank underneath, it does last a long time. I mean, the 907 Caligas bottles, they say, lasts about 10 days for your average family.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you've got, you know, 15-litre tank underneath, that will last you a long time. And it's cheap as chips to fill up.
Yeah.
So how many people will the one I've just seen outside look after? How many people can go off?
So what we say is, you know, the bed, the rock and roll bed, that's two adults. You'll get two adults in there. You know, if you... The thinner bed, you have to, you know, like sleeping close to someone else. You know, get on with it. But, you know, two adults, that's fine.
Yeah.
And then in the roof, you've got that pops up, you've got bed boards that go across, and that is one adult or two children.
Wow.
Weight limit's 18 stone.
That's incredible that you can fit that family into that. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, and then...
And a greyhound, possibly.
Possibly, yes. Mm. And then you can also get... either an awning sea rail, which you attach an awning, and a lot of them nowadays, they're blow-up ones, so you just attach a pump to it and they blow up.
Yep.
You put your tent pegs into the ground and attach it to the side of the car, and you've got a living space and an extra bedroom.
Brilliant.
Yep. So if you're hooked up somewhere on a campsite, you plug into the mains, you've got all your 240-volt, anything you'd ever need, and you've got your awning on the side, so, you know...
Absolutely, yeah.
It's just...
Tell you what, I'm off for you. I'm off. Where should we go?
Scotland.
Yeah.
So you've been converting these vehicles. Remind us again what the base vehicle is.
So at the moment we're doing two. There's Toyota Alphard.
Right.
And there's a newer version of that, like a facelift version. And then you've got the Nissan Elgrand.
Okay. So both Japanese cars.
Yes.
So they come right-hand drive, which is handy. And you convert these, and you've been doing this for a couple of years. If you don't mind me asking, how popular are they? How many do you sell a year?
Well, so the main thing we find is that people always look, when they want a camper van, they look for VWs.
Yeah.
That's like, it's almost in the name.
That's all people know as well.
It's like vacuums being called Hoovers, really, isn't it?
Yeah. And, well, if you want a really high-end, sort of the level we're doing, VW... It's slightly wider, not much longer.
Right.
You're looking at 80, 90 grand for a new one.
Right.
Now, we import these. Admittedly, they're not new cars.
Right.
But anywhere from 30,000 will get you a good model. It won't have all the optional extras, but it'll get you a good model of the camper van that you
can get on the road and go off. Yeah. That's amazing value.
And I think last year we were in sort of just under 100, sort of 80.
Yeah, wow, okay.
Incredible. And presumably you can have solar on the roof as well, panel put on.
We put on 200-watt, 180-watt solar panels, and you can either have it single charge or dual charge. So you can actually charge your vehicle battery from the solar panel as well, which means, you know, if you accidentally leave something on by accident, which happens quite a lot, because a lot of people like listening to the radio.
Yeah.
When they
leave it on all night,
and by accident they've left it on. But it allows that trickle charge into the vehicle battery. That means it's less, you know.
Right.
less likely to happen.
Okay, so you've made a fantastic success of converting these vehicles and selling them 80 to 100 a year, which is brilliant for such a small industry. Then you've decided to do rentals.
Yes, so the thing we have at the moment is my grandfather, he's not old. I don't want to say old.
He's younger than us.
He's younger than us, and he's trying to hedge around that.
Yeah, he's trying to be polite. Because he wants to come on again, you see.
Yeah, that's right. So he's got to watch it. Your very young grandfather,
He works around the clock. It's incredible. I mean, he's constantly saying how he's up at, 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'll call him at, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night, and he's still, plodding away because he has to, because he's the only one that, sells the cars, hands the cars over, buys the stock. He does it all.
Yeah. It's his passion.
Yeah, it is, but it's also,
And is Carol, are they together?
No, so Carol's my other grandparents.
Oh, okay, fine. Grandparents. Has Carol been in one of these
campers? She's seen them, but she hasn't been in them.
She hasn't been. Come on, Carol, you need to get off to Scotland.
So, what inspired you to start thinking about hiring them out?
Yeah, so my grandfather's always gone on about how, we're in the perfect place to do campervan hire.
Yep.
You can come down, you can leave your car with us, and you can hop on a Channel Tunnel ferry straight to Europe.
Yeah.
We're 10 minutes away from the Channel Tunnel.
Yeah. Exactly. So, be having Maul and Fritz in a couple of hours.
Exactly. Mm. And it's just, they've never had time to do it. They've never been able to, they wouldn't be able to. It's just too much they do at the moment anyway. And as I've been working for the company, building the camper vans this entire time, and as I've, built them, understand them a bit more, learn from my grandfather, it's something that we've decided that, I can take a stab at, as you might say.
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
And, there's a lot of learning involved into it.
Sure, But it's also a market that's there that's very badly served. I was saying to you off air earlier when you were showing around a van, a few years ago, I thought about hiring a camper van to drive down to visit my family in France. And I rang around all the camper van and RV and motorhome salespeople around the southeast of England, not just Kent, and none of them did hiring.
There's none in Kent. I'm amazed. There is a few, but they're sort of one, two vehicles. And they're nothing like what we've got.
Right.
They definitely won't have Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them, they're just a single unit with a sink, that sort of thing. But when you can have basically the luxury of home on the road, that's I think, where the difference is, because the Wi-Fi is incredibly quick. I mean, again, we were sat down at St. Margaret's Bay, and I had no signal on my phone, and I thought, I'll check this Wi-Fi on, put it on, see what it's all about down here where there's no signal. And immediately I turned it on, got connected, and it was like being at home. It was incredible. And it's just a 5G router that sits on the spoiler.
Right.
It's amazing the developments that have been made for camper vans ever since people...
Yeah.
So you could actually use it as an office?
Yeah, I mean, there's an Ethernet cable to the router, so you can plug your laptop in.
So you could watch TV as well if you had a tablet or whatever.
There's a drop-down TV in it.
It's got all mod cons. Plus, you could eat sushi in it because it's Japanese.
Right.
Yep.
So the drop-down TV, is there a dish or something that goes with it?
Digital antenna.
Right, okay.
So it's digital TV.
So it's Freeview, yeah. So you can listen to this show in there.
Exactly.
On Freeview 277.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, that's brilliant. That's really brilliant. And I think it's really clever of you to develop the business into a rental business. From two points of view, a lot of people don't want to use a camper van all the time. Yeah, yep. But they kind of fancy going on holiday for a week or two. And there's a song about that, isn't there? Going on holiday for a week or two.
Summer holiday.
Yeah. But also, I would imagine it's a great way to find out if you and a camper van get on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So you can hire one for a couple of weeks and think, oh, I need to buy my own.
Yeah, because already I haven't even got a website yet. It's being made and it should be done by the end of the week.
Right.
Already I've had someone call me saying, We're looking at your website. We're thinking of buying one, but we saw you're doing hiring now. Yeah. Is that something you can arrange for this weekend? Mm. I thought, Jesus Christ.
This weekend?
Yeah. So, you know, you pull out all the stops and you make it happen.
Right.
But well, so if somebody wants to hire one that's listening, what do? They get in contact with you. And then is it, what about insurance and all that? And
right, so insurance is all included.
And do you give them a little lesson?
Yes. So what we're going to do is whenever anyone comes in, we're going to spend an hour going through everything with them. Yeah. And they're also going to have a little booklet.
That's good. So, and of course you could make live videos or while you're showing them little pull-out yeah. things and that. That's
a lot of the people, when we sell them to them, they video the whole thing. So they yeah. have it as, you know, when they get back. They
yeah. can... With our Heimer, I found, you know, there was a shower in the Heimer and I found that really difficult because, you know, it's very old and it's quite, you know, the plastic is now quite brittle because it's old. It's very well made. It's German. But I did find it. My new husband had to show me quite a few times. I got trapped in there once, you know, because you have to open this and fold that. You've got to be quite good. But I think with these Japanese, they're more modern as well.
Yes,
so
yeah.
a lot more simple, hopefully.
Well, we spent the last 5 years trying to make everything as ergonomic as possible.
Yeah.
We want, you know, my grandfather sometimes gets my nan in, make sure that she can swivel the seats, make right. sure she can pull the bed down.
Excellent.
And that yeah. way, you know.
So a lady can do it.
Yeah. We get loads of old couples that come in who, yeah. you know, want to...
Our age, Paul.
Really?
Yeah, rattling people that are stiff and, you know, have yeah, to, yeah, can't yeah. climb up and stuff.
Yeah, cool.
I have to be careful where I tread.
Yeah, very.
this is fantastic. I really love what you're doing. And I think there's a big market for rentals of camper vans. It's something that's been popular for a long, long time.
Yes.
Yeah, so it isn't going to go away. You know, it's been around a long time. And since the late 50s, you know, camper vans and motorhomes and RVs and all the other things that Yanks call them, the big Winnebagoes. Bradley races cars. He does rallycross. Have you ever raced at Snetterton?
In
Norfolk, just around the corner from there is RAF Lakenheath, which is a big American yeah. air base. Yeah. So there's a huge Winnebago sales place there. They're all second hand because they're American forces that have bought them over and can't be bothered to pay yeah. to take them home again. But of course, they're all left hand drive and they're all about 19 million feet long and really old and gush out diesel.
Exactly.
Yeah. Cool. But the whole motor vehicle, travelling, motorhome, campervan, camperhome thing has been a thing for 40 or 50 years and it isn't yeah. going away anytime soon.
Yeah, it's just I think it's the idea that you can just go away and be, you know, with whoever you want to be.
Yeah.
For, you know, a week yeah. or 2 weeks and you have yeah. everything you need.
Yeah.
You can maybe pop to the shops, get, you know, your milk, your
bacon. Well, that's the beauty of a campervan, isn't it? It's a vehicle. You can actually use it every day as a vehicle. You know, instead of having the bed, you leave the seats down and you can take the kids to school in it.
I know the amount of people that have come to us, sold their car that they were, you know, maybe were financing or something, or, you know, come to the end of their lease and they thought, well, we like the idea of a camper van and, you know, we want it to be slightly economical because we might want to use it every day.
Yeah.
And that's where these come into their own because they're not as big as vans. They're not as heavy.
Yeah.
They do get 32, 34 miles per gallon.
Right. Okay.
And that's for a big old van. That's not bad.
Yeah.
And it means, you can go to a festival without all the camping stuff. You know, you can sleep well. Couldn't you?
Yeah, no, you can. The reason I'm not going to say this on the radio because I'll get killed. But,
because your wife gets a Winnebago. Your ex.
See, she has to give it away. I was going to be far more subtle than that, yeah. Someone I know, yeah, when she goes to festivals, she hires a motorhome to meet her at the festival. Yeah,
that's a brilliant idea. I mean, that's my kind of camping.
Yeah,
because you don't have to use their loos and things as well, which is always very good.
But coming back to the camper van thing, you're absolutely right. You can go to a festival. You don't have to have a tent that gets collapsed overnight because somebody rolls over it. I was actually in a tent at Snetterton one day and some idiot in the car park late at night was doing donuts in a car and they bloody went straight over the top of my tent.
Really? Yeah. And you lived to tell the tale?
I wasn't in it, was I?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't say that bit. Yeah, you could have been snoring or
could have been.
Sneezing.
Bradley, we're kind of running out of time now on the show. It's been fascinating talking to you. Thank you so much for telling us about Milldown Camper Vans. And and your new coming along hiring business. Yep. I know your hiring website isn't quite ready yet, yep. but it will be soon. As soon as it is, let us know and we'll publicise that. But for the moment, if people want to find out more about campervans in general with you, what's your main website?
Well, the website for selling the campervans is www.milldowncampers.com.
Okay. And that will be live in about a week?
No, or
that's live now?
That's
okay.
live already.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And then the new hire one's going to be www.milldowncamperhire.com. But, yeah, I mean, we're both at the end of the email. So if anyone has any questions or anything, I'm
give us a shout for your email.
So the email is info@milldowncamperhire.com.
Fantastic. In fact, all of that is linked on the Kent Business Radio website. So if you didn't get any of that down, if you go into the Kent Business Radio website, you can find it all there and you can link through. Bradley, thank you so much for that. Thank you for joining us and telling us all about your wonderful business. And we wish you continued success and much success with all the ventures that you have at the moment.
Thank you very much.
Cool. We've got a few minutes of the show left, not long, and we've got quite a bit of stuff to cover.
I'm getting photos of the Darcy sitters, Darcy Greyhound, there you are. And that's my son's friend, Joe, who's babysitting. And he's working from home in our house, so he's rather enjoying it by the looks of it with Darcy. Yeah,
seems so.
Yeah. Leeds Castle concert, this is a good one. I just want to go in a camper van now. I can't wait for the end of the show. hijack it.
I've actually been to the Leeds Castle concert in a
camper van.
Yeah, well motorhome, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Was it a Winnebago?
No, it wasn't.
He's pursing his lips now, in case I mention certain people. Leeds Castle concert is thrilled to announce that the sensational Alicia Paul Moses, and she's set to headline the highly anticipated Leeds Castle concert. And this year's event will take place on Saturday the 13th of July amidst the breathtaking backdrop of Leeds Castle. And it, as you know, it's one of the most iconic historic sites in the United Kingdom. So let's find out how to book. There is a little email, which is inquiries@leedscastleconcert.co.uk. And there's also a phone number. All details will be on kentbusinessradio.co.uk. The number is 0845 652 6262. That's 0845 652 6262. If you purchase 10 or more tickets, you can receive a 10% discount. And of course, they've got the Philharmonic Orchestra. And they'll be again taking to the stage this year with a touch of ABBA mania. So that sounds really, really good. And audiences invited to dust off their 1970s mod dresses and flares and come dressed ready for an afternoon of sunshine, boogie and moonlit fireworks. So that's Leeds Castle concert on the Saturday, the 13th of July. And if you want a little camper van to go with it, have a look at milldowncampers.com.
Fantastic. Business in Maidstone, following our successful autumn cohort. The GEO team is back with their free fortnightly marketing sessions for Maidstone businesses. These four sessions have been designed to develop your new business into a powerful and sustainable brand identity. Join the team at GEO Brand and Onward Socials for four workshops covering value proposition, brand identity, social media and website development. The first session takes place this Thursday, the 25th of April, 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the Business Terrace in Maidstone. If you want to find out more and find the booking link, kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar.
And business sustainability. There's a free event. We love a free event. And we especially love it when it's at Chapel Down Vineyard. It's in the Small Hythe Road, Tenterden, on May the 16th at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. So it's a free event, talks, networking and wine tasting. Now, if you want to drink a lot of wine, you go in a camper van, of course, milldowncampers.com. Go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar to book up for that one.
The Southeast Business Construction Expo is a free innovative conference and exhibition with networking breakfast, a women in construction lunch and a gala dinner for contractors, developers, consultants, architects and related industries. You can attend the expo free of charge. It's on the 1st of May at Sandown Park Racecourse in Surrey. And if you want to book your free tickets, it's constructionexpouk.co.uk to do that.
And Sport England have awarded Maidstone Leisure Centre funding, which is going to help improve the swimming pool at the complex. So this is Maidstone Borough Council. It's owned by them, and they've received $516,000 to install heat recovery systems and replace boilers. It's interesting they're still going to use a boiler with the price of gas, but yep. I guess for a huge pool, because, you know, I'm trying to get rid of my boiler with my yep. indoor pool.
What are you going to heat it with?
I don't know. I was going to ask you.
Well, I've got a heat pump.
I know. Is it good?
This is my third. The first
you've gone through a few.
The first two were rubbish.
They were Chinese, weren't they?
They were cheap Chinese knockoffs.
What's your third one?
I don't know what nationality
Why
is.
Why can't you get a Japanese one? They sound good.
Yeah. Well,
are you going to use a generator and solar as well to so no. you can store? Because my plumber was saying you need solar as well. Solar and I guess you store it somehow.
Well, not if you've got a heat pump. You don't need solar as well.
I don't know how it works.
Well, you could use solar, but you need a lot of solar panels to heat a swimming pool, and you would need battery storage. I've got a heat pump. The one I've got at the moment cost me $7,000. It was quite expensive, but
it works.
It works. I mean, my last one I've got a big swimming pool. It is a big swimming pool.
And it's outdoor. Whereas
mine's outdoor, and it's 8 foot deep, and da 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 da. Yeah. And it would take a week to heat the swimming pool. The heat pump I've got at the moment takes about 9 hours.
Oh, that's really good.
And once you've heated it, you turn it off because I've got a solar cover which keeps the heat topped up. So I don't have to turn it on very often after that. I mean, it's hellishly expensive while it's running, but it doesn't run for very long.
See, that's the point, isn't it? Because we've got a boiler and our bills are ridiculous because we're not putting the central heating on. We've got three boilers in our house, as you know. Well, so we're not putting, but we have the pool heated because I swim 4 or 5 times a week.
Well, when I first moved into the house, it had a gas boiler.
Yeah.
But it was Calagas. It was Calagas because it was outside and it wasn't mains gas. Mm. And it was powered by two 120 kilogram gas bottles, okay, which cost about £50. Mm. And they lasted 2 days.
Oh, that's
and it took 2 weeks to actually heat the pool. So it was eye-wateringly expensive, which is why I changed from that to a heat pump.
Yeah, but it doesn't sound like it's much cheaper. For me, having a boiler, maybe it was.
It's cheaper because it heats it really quickly. And once the water's heated,
you can turn it off.
You can turn it off and keep the water warm because as an outdoor pool, we only use it during the spring and summer. Mm. So the outdoor temperature is quite warm as well. So once you've got it up to temperature, it takes a long time to cool down. Mm. So you don't have to put the thing on all the time. And when you do put it on, you just run it as a top up overnight when a lecky's a bit cheaper.
Yeah.
So there you go. New life has ignited. It's ignited a town's fire station. Do you see what they did there? Yeah. A disused Victorian building underneath the arches in New Road, Chatham, has been transformed into a Nepalese restaurant. Gurkha Fire has been created by the owners, an award-winning eatery already based in the town and officially opened at last weekend. Guests included the mayor of Medway, Councillor Nina Gurung, who attended the ceremony where they were offered a range of Nepalese, Indian and Chinese cuisine.
Oh, delicious. I'm very hungry now. Martin Rees has tweeted us and he says, I've just phoned my mum. He's very good, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He's
to
brilliant.
Ask about what was before Mr. Wimpy, although she can't recall it being anything other than Mr. Wimpy. She said, maybe ask Maidstone BC
Borough Council,
who may have a record of it. So I'm gonna tweet that and we'll see what Maidstone Borough Council say.
I'm fairly sure it was a sports shop, and before that, in the early 70s, it was a men's clothing shop. I'm pretty sure it was.
I don't know. Maidstone.
I just don't know what they were called.
I don't, but I would. I'm now starving just hearing about Wimpy's and Nepalese restaurants. Popular, if you are fancying some food, a popular Kent cafe, if you fancy being an entrepreneur, has gone on the market 3 months after the owner announced she was leaving the county, after finding true love. Kerry's Kitchen in Lydd has been listed on Rightmove for £300,000 and is described as an opportunity not to miss out. And Miss Searles announced she was moving 200 miles away to Gloucestershire after meeting a soldier who was temporarily based at the military training camp in Lydd. It's quite romantic. So I don't know if it's 300,000 freehold or what, but there you are. If you live near Lydd, try saying that with horse's teeth in, then have a look at Kerry's Kitchen on Rightmove if you fancy running a calf.
Achieve Zero Food Waste has helped a specialist manufacturer of air-dried fruit and vegetable crisps launch new products and enjoy a near 20% boost in turnover. NIMS uses over 600 tons of fresh produce every year, and 95% of that is classed as rescued or wonky and wouldn't be sold on the shelves of supermarkets across the country. The Sittingbourne-based company, which employs 18 people, has developed a process that means all this fruit and veg is used in its range of crisps, drinks, garnishes and edible teas. Investing £30,000 in a new machine to offer bespoke formats, including fruit and vegetable powders, has also unlocked a host of new ingredients and garnishes. This covers apple, pineapple, pears, watermelons and all citrus fruits, and can be used to flavour alcoholic and non-alcoholic drinks at the point of manufacture, as well as used in bars, pubs and hotels at the point of making or serving cocktails. They are also incorporated into baking and cake decorations by restaurants when garnishing dishes. That's NIMS, Chris. Do you remember NIM came on the Business Bunker show about 120 years ago when she first had the idea for launching this business? And she's won so many awards. She's gone from strength to strength. Yeah. And now they're a huge manufacturing business.
Really lovely crisps.
Yeah.
Owners of a popular business park want to expand the site as it continues to buck the trend of failing high streets in the country, in the county. Mershamley Hatch, however you say it, is a business village off the A20 near Ashford, and it's submitted plans for 5 additional retail units amid significant demand for more space. And bosses hope to extend a recently converted garage to provide 2 more units and construct a new building opposite to offer 3 further spots. They say the scheme will be in keeping with the rest of the site, which was opened by late entrepreneur Jimmy Godden.
Jimmy used to own Dreamland.
Yeah, I met him. And forms part of the historic Mersham Le Hatch estate.
Mersham Le Hatch.
What does Le Hatch mean? What does Hatch?
Folkestone Harbour, a hub for independent food and drink brands in Kent, has entered the world of retail with its first ever permanent standalone retail space. The new arrival is Gaia, a female-founded boutique indie retailer with stores in Folkestone and Westrum. Co-founder and self-taught furniture maker Alex Vuzakis Field said, "Being a part of Folkestone Marketplace for the past 2 years has been really great. There's a family here and we're all supportive of each other. Gaia's studio is going to be a place where you can come and read, sit, enjoy, make, and drink fantastic coffee."
A Christmas tree seller has warned he could go bankrupt if he has to pay more than $60,000 in business rate arrears.
Oh, don't get me started on business rates.
For a shop he opened just 5 weeks a year. Rob Schroeder, 77 years old, who owns a Christmas tree farm off Gravely Bottom Road in Kingswood.
Gravely.
Oh, yes, Gravely. Gravely Bottom. Did you slip that over to me?
I know Gravely Bottom really well.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. Kingswood was slapped with an arrears claim of £65,917 after his shop was given a rating by the Valuation Officer Agency. The government quango wanted him to pay £13,499 per year in business rates. It claims the farm should have been listed as retail because of the Christmas shop, which sells lights and decorations for 5 weeks of the year. Mr. Schroeder says if he is forced to pay the bill, he could be put out of business and his 5 staff would lose their jobs and homes, which are tied to the business.
Don't even get me started.
Five weeks a year.
Don't even get me started on business rates. They are the biggest rip-off on the planet, and I have to say, Ashford Council are appalling, which we come under. They can't even get the name of our unit right. They send us 3 bills a week. All of them are misbilled. All of them are wrong. And they just get really stroppy about it and demand huge amounts of money for delivering absolutely nothing in return. That's my rant of the day.
Well, I'm just getting the heebie-jeebies because I've mentioned the Christmas word and I've just recovered from last Christmas.
Right. Have you got anything else that needs reading?
I have just checking the tweets, but we've got networking, of course. That's coming up April 26, 10:30 till midday. All details on Kent Business Radio. It's at the Mount Vineyard, which is where Paul Andrews. Where's Mount Vineyard?
Tunbridge Wells.
Of course, it's near the beautiful Bluebell Woods. As I drove through, the Bluebell Woods are all out. So get your camper van and go and visit some Bluebell Woods.
My Bluebell Woods out as well.
Ah, I love it. I love bluebells. It's such a beautiful colour. Sarah Marsh Collins has just tweeted, and I don't know where it is now, just popped up.
Well, that's handy.
Well, it might be on my... Oh, she's WhatsApp me, that's why. Was looking for photos from my camper van trip with my family and our greyhound, but sidetracked with work. She sent me that as a WhatsApp.
Cool. Right, have you got anything else there that needs reading?
No, not really.
You've read them all?
Well, I've got one.
Are you sure?
I've got a very long one. There's the owners of an iconic country house turned hotel have unveiled plans for an ambitious expansion, including holiday lodges.
Oh, that's Broome Park, isn't it?
A spa and a grand design style treehouse. So bosses at the 17th century Broome Park in Barham, or Barham, near Canterbury, want to make the venue desirable all year round to attract more people to the county. They also plan to restore a Grade 2 listed 1900s Italian garden that has fallen into ruin at a cost of £1 million. But in order to fund it, a development of 14 homes is proposed in a secluded area of the picturesque grounds, which also hosts a golf course. Wow, Broome Park. Who knew?
I think we've reached the end of another show.
Yes, I do. I do think we have.
I want to say a huge thank you to our guests this week, Michael Taylor and Linda Cloak of GitGo Concierge Services, to Bradley Westgarth of Milldown Camper Vans and soon to be Milldown Camper Hire. Thank you all so much to my lovely co-host, Jill Sirkin. We'll be back with another show next week. Stay safe and sound, everybody, and we'll see you all soon. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.